You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And you're going to hear some things today probably maybe you've never heard before. So have an open heart to receive what the Lord would have for you today. And you'll be blessed with everything. So we got some interesting things to share with you out of the Judaism that's in the Bible that a lot of people aren't aware of. But we're going to open your eyes to see some things a new way. I tell people all the time, put on your glasses, your Jewish glasses, so you can see what they saw. And it's for our benefit as well because we've been grafted in. So we're honored to be here on WCNO again. We hope you can stay tuned in with us for the whole hour and be blessed with all that. We offer some material. I have a book I wrote that called The Pictures of the Messiah. It's offered for $25. It's got all these lessons in it, and you can read it for yourself. And I like a book, too, because as I read, I can get more and go back and check it over and over again. So you can avail yourselves of that as well. So as I said, we're honored to be here with you. So stay tuned in. We're going to give you some real meat today now and not just pablum. We're going to give you something good today, okay? Real meat. And so stay tuned in. And I think you'll be blessed with what you hear today, not because of me, but because it's the Word of God, and it's been in a book for hundreds of years, and a lot of people just never looked at it or seen it in a new way. So hallelujah. We thank you for that. We want to give you some meat, you know, just not just milk. We want meat that we can grow and mature in the things of God. And so this Bible I have in my hand here is a Jewish document, and we need to look at that and see what God told His people. And aren't we blessed that we're grafted in? So all those blessings and all those honor that we see is applied to us as well because we're believers in Yeshua. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour and be blessed with what we're going to talk about. And I was kind of in a dilemma last night thinking about what to talk about today. This today happens to be the 21st day of the month of Elul, which is the month of Teshuvah. So we're getting down real close, and we got trumpets is going to be coming September, I think, 10th and 11th, those 2 days that we talked about that's honored. And so are we ready? Are we ready? Could the Lord come back this year? We don't know, do we, for sure? We know this is the time of the year, but we don't know what year we're on for sure. But could well be. So we need to be looking up, don't we? I tell people, look up, because we tell you on this program, look up, because your redemption, what? Draweth nigh. And so we need to be ready all the time. You know, the Jews honor this, what, once a year. They look at themselves. But see, we as believers should be looking at ourselves every single day. Are we in that place with the Lord? Is He pleasing with us, you know? And if not, well, then we need to repent, teshuva, come back, and start doing the things He'd have us to do, and He'll put us right back in that same place. His arm is never too short, the Bible says. If we're willing and we agree with Him, He'll bring us right back in that place again. So we're honored to be able to know Him and to do that. And you know, it's a blessing to not just know about Jesus. A lot of people say, well, I know Jesus, but do they really know Him? A lot of people say they know Him, but they really don't have a relationship with Him. You know, I know President Trump. I see him on TV. But do I really know President Trump? No, I don't. But we see what his actions bring, so that's good. But you and I, we have the Spirit of God in us. If you're born again, ask the Lord to come into your heart. Well, then we have the privilege to know the deep things of God, because it only comes by the Spirit. And so the closer we get to Him, the more we're going to have a walk with the Lord and be pleasing to Him. And He'll show you the things He wants to change in your life, maybe a ministry He's called you to, whatever. So we just have to be willing and obedient to do those things. You know, think about Abraham when he's called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, went out, you know, into the Canaan land and all over there. He had no clue what was going to happen. God sent him out there, and he waited. It was like 12 or 13 years before he heard from God again. Most people that got a call, if they waited that long, they'd probably lay it down. But he didn't lay it down. And look what happened. He became his lineage became the patriarchs of the Jewish faith, in you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we have to be faithful to those things that God called us to. And we don't know what he's going to do, you know. The Bible tells us over in Jeremiah, I think, chapter 21, that he has a blessing for us. He has an expected end, which would be a destiny, and he wants us to move into that place that we can be used of God to be that destiny that he's got planned for us. And so sometimes we don't know how we're going to get there, but we do, right? I know when we started our church back 25 years ago, we didn't know what God was going to do, but I look back, we've been looking at pictures at home and all cleaning out some things at home, looking at the pictures from all those days and the people that came through the congregation. I mean, now we can look back and see what God was wanting to do with us. And so we're so thrilled that we're in that place, we're doing what he wants us to do, and we're not going to deviate from it. He's called us to do that, and we won't change unless he tells us to change. Amen. So I thought we'd talk about a couple interesting things today. Because we're in the time of, you got something that you want to say?
I would like for you to give the address where we're going to be this afternoon.
Yeah, I didn't say that, did I?
At 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Alliance Church. What is the address?
445 Osceola Street, and that's right here in Stuart, Florida.
Right near the hospital, right. The North Hospital, downtown Stuart.
There is 34994 if you want to.
Amen. And our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's it, 285-7007. And before you start teaching, why don't you show them the book that the Lord had you start about, 30 years ago, I believe.
It's been a labor of love.
And he's just added on to it as you've studied it. It's called God's Prophetic Calendar, right? So you can see it here. Mm-hmm. Pictures of the Messiah.
As revealed,
right? And they're the feasts of the Lord.
The Lord, not the Jews. The Lord, these are his feasts, and he gave it to the Jewish people to disseminate it to everyone, including the Gentiles as well.
But it's for us, and it's for today.
That's right.
It's not just for Old Testament believers, right, which would be the Jewish people, right, but it's for all people. Amen?
That's right.
So because, in my Bible, the Lord spoke to me a few years back. That page that's in the center that says New Testament?
Yeah.
Lord told me to pull that out, tear it out. I use it as a bookmarker now. It's in my Bible. I tore it out.
No separation.
There's no separation.
That's right.
Right? And the New Testament tells us
that.
Right. And we're one in Messiah, Jew and Gentile.
That's right.
So when we're all one in Messiah. So, there's no separation. So, and that page kind of makes a separation. And to me, it did. But now, because a lot of believers, they don't even hardly ever go and read the Torah, even the first five books of the Bible, let alone the prophets. And everybody reads the Psalms and the Proverbs, I believe. And I've been reading Psalm 91 a lot. And every time I read it, it's like I'm crying. It says, Lord, why am I crying? I'm crying. There's such promises there in that Psalm 91. But this book is available. And if you'd like to have it, it's $25 plus whatever it would cost for us to ship it
about
to
$4.
You. And it's a lot of labor and a lot of seeking the truth, and every single scripture that Pastor Gene has put in there, it's backed up by two or three,
yes. Right?
And it's not his opinion. Hopefully, and it's changeable. You've changed several things as the Lord has shown you new things.
That's why we put it in a loose leaf binder that we can add or subtract from that. Because if you publish it in a hardback, well, then you've got all those books with an error in it. And you can't get rid of them that quick, but this way we can. And we've had a lot of changes over the years, because as we go along, we find out more things about the Jewishness that we didn't know before, and we want to add it to the book.
And there's more and more people now teaching.
That's right.
This, when you started teaching this, people thought you were a little wacko, a little crazy, But now there's a lot of people, and the one I really think about is the Jewish man by the name of Jonathan Kahn.
Yeah.
And he's brought much truth to the body of Christ, and he's a spirit-filled believer in Yeshua.
That's right.
Has a synagogue, I guess you'd call it our temple or a place of worship in the United States up north.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, right. And, you know, God has used him mightily, as I believe, as a prophet for today. He's Jewish. He's spirit-filled. That means he speaks in tongues. And he speaks the blessings of the Abrahamic blessing over people. And he's written several books.
He's been in the
White House. He's been in the places of prayer, and he's spoken words as a prophet over our nation.
That's right.
And if our nation doesn't repent and really return to the Lord, we can be in a lot of trouble, and it may not be that far away. You know, the things that are going on even right now, and you see the things, some of the people that are in the elections, even what's happening now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of ungodly people, so we need to get out and vote for when it's that time, and for those that are standing for truth and righteousness.
That's it, absolutely.
Amen.
So we need seek first the kingdom of God
and His righteousness,
and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto us. So if we do that, then God's there; His blessings are there for us. Amen.
Amen.
So I thought about talk about two things. We're talking about the time of Teshuvah. There's a couple of things that's going to happen after the resurrection, out from among the dead. Now you notice I said out from among the resurrection, out from among the dead. Some will be left in their tombs. You can read Daniel chapter 12 and it tells you that. But anyway, for those that know the Lord will be resurrected, okay, at that particular time we've been talking about. And so anyway.
Tell them what Teshuvah means.
Teshuvah means to repent, to turn around and come back to the Lord. Mainly it means to turn around. But see, a lot of people's never come to the Lord to start with, so they can't turn around. So then we just ask for them to come to get saved, come to the Lord and receive his death, burial, and resurrection for their own life. But there's two key things in this, after the catching away and all, and it's the coronation of the king. And the other thing I want to touch on for a moment, then we'll let Miss Margie share some things here. I want to talk about the catching away before Antichrist. I'm hearing this a lot in books and all. A lot of people believe that the false Messiah will be revealed to the world before we go. Now, I think we can prove this in Scripture that that's not true. So we'll talk about that for a moment. But first, I'm going to talk about the coronation of a king. Think about it. As soon as we're caught off the earth, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and the next thing's going to happen, we're going to see him coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that way? Is it amazing?
But could he be alive now?
Could be alive, but he hasn't been revealed to the world yet.
Okay.
And more likely, he might be alive. Okay. Now, this theme with this, about there's a Jewish word I mentioned last week called Ha-Melech. It means the king. So as soon as the resurrection and the catching away comes, then there's going to be an event in heaven that will be an incredible time to see the Messiah coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And guess who will be there? We will all be there to see it if we're walking with the Lord. Amen? And this is all revealed in Revelation chapter 5 about the coronation and all that. So Yeshua had to come to the earth during his first advent. He came as a baby, didn't he?
Yes.
Grew up as a boy and all that. And to fulfill the role of what? A suffering Messiah. The Jews call him Messiah ben Joseph. Well, Joseph, did he suffer too? So he's an example for us with the Messiah. And he will be crowned as king over all the earth in preparation of his second advent. And we got to keep these two thoughts in mind. The second coming, I'm talking about him coming in the sky. He's not coming to the earth. The second advent will be the end of Jacob's trouble when he comes and puts his foot again on the Mount of Olives, as it tells us in Acts chapter 1 over there. The second, back to the earth at that time, as King Messiah, and he will fulfill a term called Ben David. Messiah Ben David during what? The millennial king reign and all that. So he'll be king forever. He's going to be on the right hand and all that. We can read in Ezekiel about the regents and all that and the people that are going to be there. Okay. Now there's four key things. I put these in my book, so I'm going to kind of go over it. It's hard to remember every detail, but there's four key things that mounts to this thing called the coronation. All right. The first, there was the giving of the decree or declaration of what? That he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
This can be seen in Psalms 2, verses 6 and 7. You can read this on your own. Next, a rod or scepter is given, which is an emblem what, of a king. Remember Esther, when she went before the king, he held out that scepter. If he wouldn't have, what? She would have been executed. So it shows the office and the power of it. This can be seen in Numbers 24:17, and also in Hebrews 1:8, if you want to read that. The scepter is an emblem of a king or a royal office, and a rod refers to the king ruling and reigning righteously in all matters, as it reveals in Isaiah 11, 1 through 4. All right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeshua is our King Messiah. So secondly now, we covered the first thing. There is a ceremony of taking the crown. It's revealed in Revelation 5. The king sits on the throne and is anointed as king. This is a very fitting for Yeshua, since his name Christ in the Greek means what? The Anointed One. Yeshua came as a prophet during his first advent. And you can read, that's all being even spoken about in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. A prophet such as like Moses, huh? Was resurrected as the high priest in Hebrews 4:14, and is coming back to earth again as king of the earth. The third thing now in this coronation, there was a time of acclamation, and during the acclamation, all the people shout, "Long live the king!" Do you ever hear that? You see it in movies and everything. This is in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 28 through 31. Next, all the people clap. This is in Psalms 47, 1 and 2. In fact, Psalm 47 is a coronation psalm. Psalm 47:5 is the shout and shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Verse 6 is the shouting and praising of the king. Verse 8 is the ceremony of the throne. In verse 9, the believers in the Messiah are gathered in his presence. That's the first three things. And here's number 4. Listen to this. Each of the king's subjects come to visit the king after he has taken the throne. In this, they will acknowledge their allegiance to him and receive their commissioning from him as to what their function will be in his kingdom. And that's revealed in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So we're going to be present when that happens. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I've shared this a little bit over the years. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but you know, after the kingdom is established, and we see what happens through tabernacles that particular year, well, then the temple has to be rededicated because it's been desecrated by the false Messiah. And so guess who's going to be there for that? We are. And it's going to be during a time called Hanukkah, which means dedication. So we're going to get to see all that again also. So many wonderful things to look forward to. So we ought to be excited about our walk with the Lord, to know that he's in charge and not us. Amen?
And you have Hanukkah in that book as well.
Oh, lesson on Hanukkah.
And we know that in the New Testament, it talks about Hanukkah, because it talks about the Feast of Dedication.
Yeah, Jesus went to that, didn't he?
Jesus honored every single one of the feasts, didn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely. Right, every single one. And you know, it's interesting, Donna mentioned that. As you read the Gospels and all that, Jesus had certain things he said at certain times a year, and they were all revolving around God's appointed times, and the Jewish people knew what he was talking
that's
about.
That's right.
We mentioned last week about you won't know the day nor the hour. So that's good. You can study. Go read chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, and you'll see what the Lord has, or what God has planned for his son. Now, just for a few minutes, I'm going to let Margie share some things here. I want to talk about some things that we need to talk about. We need to go to 2 Thessalonians. We need our scripture. We're going to turn to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read that to start with, and then we're going to take a look at it. I'm only going to read the first few verses in it. 2 Thessalonians, all right, chapter 2. This is how it starts. Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." So what do you think that's talking about? This is talking about the resurrection of the Jewish people, and anybody, Jew or Gentile, that's in the Messiah will be resurrected. And also, those that are left on the earth will be caught away. We're going to be gathered to him, right? "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." So they had received some kind of communications. Could have been a word, a letter, or some exhortation that was saying that they were already in the day of the Lord. Well, they weren't. And so Paul had to clarify that. Now, verse 3 in 2 Thessalonians 2, "Let no man," he says, "deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come what? A falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And we've got a lot of teaching in the church today that there's going to be a huge falling away from the faith. A huge, so dynamic that everybody's going to know that the false Messiah is here, okay? Well, I don't believe that's what this is telling us, okay? Now, this falling away is an interesting word. And I looked it up in some Greek literature and all that, and the word there, falling away, means to depart or to vanish. So I wrote this in my book. I'm going to read this with you so I get it straight. This is very important. So what I'm trying to tell you is I don't believe that the false Messiah, he might be here, but he will not be revealed until you and I, the body of Christ, are gone. Amen? Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So what I want to start off with is the word about the Word of God. The day of the Lord is complex in its makeup because several different programs of God are going on at the same time. Basically, it consists of Jacob's trouble and the kingdom age. It follows. However, on the first day of this period known as the Day of the Lord, the shofar, which is the last trump that we talked about last week, will sound the resurrection of the righteous dead, as well as the catching away of all the believers alive at that time will occur. We'll be gone. They receive their glorified bodies. They will be gathered for the coronation of the Yeshua that we just talked about and the marriage of the Messiah. There will be a marriage supper after this to his bride. All of this to be on the 6,000th Rosh Hashanah since the creation. In other words, 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. On earth, those not caught away will be thrown into a time of trouble, most commonly known as what? The birth pangs of the Messiah, but also called the wrath of God. It's also called tribulation, and it's called indignation. During this time, the earth will be purged from sin. It shows us in John 3:36. So, is it going to be a time of trouble? But see, we don't want to be there. We talked 2 weeks ago about the three books. You want to be in the book of the righteous, and you don't want to be in the book of the intermediates or those in the book of remembrance. When there's a book of the wicked we talked about, God knows they'll never come. But you want to be in that book of the righteous. Amen? Now, since we now have a good understanding about the day of the Lord, let's read 2 Thessalonians 2:1-3. Now, I've already read this, so we don't need to read it again. In verse 3, there are two words we need to look at very closely, which will further prove that the catching away will before the Antichrist will be revealed. The words we want to investigate closely are the words falling away. Now, I've got a lot of old translations at home, honey, you know that, from the Geneva Bible and some of the others. If you look all them up, this is where they have the word falling away in the King James. It has a departure. Talks about something's leaving, okay? And it's us.
So those books that are older than the King James Bible
have a departure in them.
Have the word departure.
That's right. Sudden removal. And about the words falling away and determined, the Apostle Paul was really saying in this verse, I believe, and not myself, but many others have the same thought and phrase about the falling away of this Greek word. It's the Greek word apostasia. Can be translated departure. The root verb of this word is aphistemi, which is found 15 times in the New Testament. I looked them all up one time. It is translated depart, think about it, 11 times out of 15 times it's talking about departing. Although it is often found translated in similar meanings, the predominant meaning of this verb is what? That the act of a person departing from another person or from a place. In the original classic Greek, the word has a second meaning, which is a departure or a disappearance. Therefore, I believe, myself, you don't have to put it in concrete, but I believe this. The correct rendering of this word, apostasia, in this context of Paul's Greek word, can mean a sudden departure and not just falling away from the faith. His context is not only revealing a kind of apostasy, but also possibly a teaching concerning the second coming of our Lord, okay? So I'm going to go back to, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read 2 and read a little bit. Paul says that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So it says the falling away has to come first, and then he will be revealed, okay? Who's the son of perdition? And the man of sin will be revealed, amen? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that. And now, and the scripture says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So what's holding it back?
Would it be the believers,
right,
in Christ?
Spirit of none of us, right.
So I think about also where it says that the dead in Christ will rise also.
That's right.
Along with those who are alive. And so when we're gone and the dead in Christ are gone, there's going to be total wickedness in the world because we have the Spirit of God within us.
Amen.
So there's going to be and we can see the wickedness building now. We can see it in our government. We can see it in our cities. We can see it in, just listen to the news and you don't even want to listen to it anymore. But we can see the wickedness building. It's increasing daily. And so when we're gone, there won't be any restraint, will there?
Nope. The restraint is the Holy Ghost within us.
Within us.
Right. But when we go, the Holy Ghost won't go. But
right.
We'll be gone, and that's the restraining force. We're going to read this now in the Bible.
And there still will be people, those who may be, those in between, those who haven't really sold out to the Lord 100%. Well, they can still get saved, right?
And be put in the book of the righteous.
And be right. put in, that's be right. moved over into the book of the righteous.
Yeah. So verse 6 here says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who's the he? The false Messiah. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he now, who now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, what is that? It's an interesting word. It means hinder or what? To restrain. Only he who now what? It says letteth, will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Was the false Messiah going to be taken out of the way at that time?
Mm-hmm.
No, the church is going to be removed from the earth. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Well, we have that today, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this proves that we will not be here when he's revealed. We're going to see this when we get to heaven.
You know, last week you talked about the last trump.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think about that, the last trump, that the word trump is mentioned in the Bible many times, and the word trumpet as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't think our president, it's any mistake that his name is Trump.
That's right.
Because God is using him mightily.
Hallelujah.
You know, he's not a perfect man, but who is? There aren't any perfect men. But he is doing what he has said he would do, and he's drawn Christian believers around him, and he's telling them what they need to know. I mean, there's a warning out on Facebook right now by Lance
Wallnow.
Right. Say his last name again?
Wallnow.
Right. And if anybody wants that, they can call me and I can tell them how to find it. But there was a letter that came out just about a week ago, and it's revealing a lot of things. And he's speaking to Christian believers that if we need to rise up and do what we're supposed to do, because if not, you know, things could go the wrong way. He's made a lot of good choices, a lot of good decisions. But you know what? If the wrong people get into office, everything that he's done that's been good can be wiped out in a moment of time.
Right.
So it's important. So I believe that, you know, God has placed him in this place of authority, and his name happens to be Trump.
That's right.
You know, he is trumping a lot of things that God would say, that God would agree with.
Yes, sir.
Because he's agreeing with the Word of God.
That's right.
He's agreeing with what God says about things.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we need to pray for him, because, and for his family, and for his children, because, you know, the enemy is out there. And well, who does the enemy use? People, places, and things. Always he uses people, places, and things. And so there's many, many people coming against our president. So we really need to stand in the gap and pray. Because,
sure.
You know, there's a lot of people that are really struggling at this time. And the enemy is, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said he came to give us life and to give us what? More abundantly, right?
So,
praise God.
So, you know, sometimes that word falling away also could, in some books, talks about a revolt because they're falling away. But we don't take that word and impose it upon something that's not contextual, which would qualify it to mean a revolt. This doesn't show a revolt.
Well, because you always say we have to read before and after. We have to take everything in.
Otherwise, we'll get a
in context, right?
That's right, instead of a context, right?
Right. So we read it all together. We don't just pull one scripture out and just claim that scripture, you know. Right. Amen. Praise Amen. God.
Therefore, the Apostle Paul is referring to the gathering together of the saints to Yeshua at his second coming, when he comes in the sky, which is a departure of this congregation or ecclesia from the earth. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, Paul's previous letter in 1 Thessalonians and all, he had described this event in these words: then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Which then proves that this event involves a departure from the earth. Another word we need to look at in the Greek is the word caught up, as revealed in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The Greek word is harpuzo, spelled H-A-R-P-U-Z-O, meaning to catch away. Its Hebrew equivalent is the word I talked about last week, natzal, N-A-T-Z-A-L, which in its root form means to what? Deliver. A derivative of that word is the word metzel, which means to pluck away or a radical departure. So I just want to summarize this, and we're going to go another direction here now about these thoughts about the catching away and all. Those that have received the Messiah and have been made his nobles are gathered to the gate of the assembly in heaven by the blowing of the shofar. When is that? On the last trump. Huh? This gate is the heavenly tabernacle. As the believers are taken from the earth with this blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they are in effect hidden from the wrath of God to come during Jacob's trouble. How long were they hidden? For 7 years we'll be hidden, right?
Yes.
The Talmud calls this day Yom HaKisa, meaning the day of concealment or the hidden day. It received this name from being the only festival that falls at the beginning of the month when the new moon may still be concealed. The new moon is called Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, when the earth reaches its 6,000th Rosh Hashanah from the time that Adam was on the earth, the shofar will sound, calling to a resurrected life those that have believed in the Messiah, Yeshua. Those believers that are alive will be gathered with him. The purpose of that gathering is to be present at the Messiah's coronation that we talked about. In conjunction with the Messiah's coronation will be his wedding. There's going to be a marriage supper, hallelujah, Amen. Wedding. The fact that the believers are hidden from the wrath of God on earth is a byproduct of the gathering rather than its main objective. And why? Because God will finish his objective and purpose with Yeshua's body, the ecclesia, and thus remove them and get them out of the way so he can finish his promise and the new covenant with his wife Israel. In other words, it is Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. So what we read there, it's about Israel's trouble, not ours. Amen? So God's mercy and grace for Israel will last another 7 years. That's what it's all about. He gives them another 7 years of grace. We'll come to a conclusion on the last day of atonement during the seventh year of God's dealings with his people, which is the Jacob's trouble. Amen?
Amen.
In closing this session, as we talked about a lot of things, the next session we're going to talk about will be talking about the Day of Atonement. But we're not going to get into that today. We're not through to trumpets as yet. Also, we want to remember the central truth of this lesson on Rosh Hashanah is this. Most of the church, the last 500 years, has propagated the belief that knowing the time of Yeshua's second coming is forbidden knowledge. Mm. But is it really? Think about it. No, because with the Jewish understanding, we can know the time and season of the year this event will take place. And we're in that season right now. The only part of the equation we've talked about that we do not have is the exact year. But we do know that it will be at the conclusion of 6,000 years from Adam, at the beginning of the last days, as shows in 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 4. The apostles were given these facts by Yeshua. Amen?
Amen.
Later, the Apostle Paul was given further details of the mystery of the second coming. What's that one? When he comes in the sky. We must remember that Yeshua's teaching in the Gospels was referring to his second advent, they mix this up. It's not the second coming, it's the second advent, and not his second coming, which was revealed, as I said, at a later time. So if you read those things, we talk about this all the time. When you read the Gospels, who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to the Jewish people. And it's in the latter days. That's what he's trying to bring to their attention. So I want to do that.
You say Second Advent, you mean?
When he comes to the earth.
When he comes.
He came to the earth. First Advent, he came as a baby, didn't he? Born.
Mm-hmm.
Second, he's going to come to the earth again.
So that's not when he comes in the sky.
Nope.
So
that's the second coming.
That would be the second coming.
That's right.
So his feet won't touch the earth at that time.
He's going to call us home.
We will meet him in the sky, in the air.
In the air.
Amen. So we'll meet him in the air, and that's his second. That would be the coming.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians with me.
Praise the Lord.
Chapter 5.
So when he comes back with the second advent, that's going to be what? To set up his kingdom?
That's right. Mm-hmm. We talked about the trump last week. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians now. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, Paul says, you have no need that I write unto you. Because he told them about these things before. So it's talking about the times and the seasons.
We're not to be ignorant of those things.
The times, the appointed times, and the seasons that they fall in. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I hear this taught a lot. But is he going to catch us as a thief? We're going to find out. That's a lie. I hear it taught, though. You better get ready. He's going to catch you as a thief.
If you're not ready, it'll be like a thief.
Or if you don't know him.
Or if you don't know him.
When they is talking about those that are outside, shall say peace and safety. That's showing how the tribulation will start. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, can't see all you on the radio listening, say, but ye, you're a ye. But ye, brethren, you believers,
all
are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do those, or as do others, but let us watch and be sober. It means self-controlled. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Sober, to be self-controlled. And all. For God hath not, hear this? This is key for us. For God hath not appointed us, he's talking to the believers, to wrath.
And
Jacob's trouble will be a time of wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep or be dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So that's a great promise. Amen?
Amen.
And now I like verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This coming's talking about when he comes in the sky, okay?
Thank you, Father.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen?
Yes.
So this is key that we remember this. And I hear a lot of teachings on this. And I don't believe we're going to know who the false Messiah is until we're in heaven. We've had all kinds of things down through time, looking at 666 in the book of Revelation. Henry Kissinger was one of them. Who else? I forget. Several different people, they thought, because their names added up with the numbers, 666. But that's not what that's telling.
I think it would be a good idea for you to read the index, what's in that book, in the front, the different topics that you have in that book, so people might know.
You mean what's covered in the book?
The different things that are covered in the book.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of information there.
Yeah. Well, there's 17 lessons plus 3 appendixes. We have teaching on the first lesson about the 7,000 years of restoration in part 1, and the prophetic calendar in lesson 2. Lesson 3, the Feast of Passover, part 2. Lesson 4, first fruits of the resurrections. Lesson 5, unleavened bread. Lesson 6, Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, an introduction.
Lesson 7,
Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, part 2. Lesson 8, the Feast of Weeks. Lesson 9, the wedding of the Messiah. Lesson 10, the Feast of Trumpets. Lesson 11, the Feast of Trumpets, part 2. Lesson 12, the Day of Atonement. Lesson 13, the Feast of Tabernacles. Lesson 14, the appointed time of Purim. Lesson 15, the appointed time of Hanukkah. Lesson 16, the conclusion of things to come. In lesson 17, the last prophetic days. There's two tapes on that available.
CDs.
Yeah, CDs. And then the appendix one is biblical dates for Messiah's conception and birth. The second appendix about the two witnesses, who they are, who are they? And appendix three is the Torah valid for today.
And you have how many charts?
I have 10 charts in the back of this book.
10 charts. And now you mentioned the wedding of the Messiah.
Right.
Now, some of you may have listened and heard Pastor Ted and his wife, Wendy, mm-hmm. teach on that. And they talked about those 12 different steps that you have in the book.
That's right. So, the charts are worth 1,000 words to you, you know. Just looking at it, you can figure things out a lot quicker.
That's right.
So it's available to you if you want it. Send a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. $25 plus $4 for shipping and handling, all right?
Amen. Glory to God.
Be blessed. So we got our dear sister Margie Swaney with us today, and she's been reading a book about praise and worship. And she's got a few things she wants to share. We got about 15 or 16 minutes left, so we're going to let her just go for it. And encourage us, because we need praise and worship, don't we, Margie? Go ahead.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, and the word was wonderful. And we thank you for that, Father, for your word. And in Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, I'd like to read that.
Okay.
Wisdom promises safety.
Woo.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart for understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as for hid treasures.
Knowledge is called a her, right?
Yes. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And you are high and lifted up.
Yes.
We honor you today on your Sabbath day, your season of Elul, Teshuvah and Rosh Hashanah. Thank you, Father, for your word that is spoken today, for it is holy and beautiful, and it is good for us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. So Pastor Jean and Pastor Donna and I have been reading a book that was given to us by Bill, a dear brother in the Lord.
In our congregation.
And it's called The Throne Zone. And it's by Keith Duncan, and it shares a lot about praise and worship. So I'd like to share a little bit more today about that.
He really got a revelation, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So praise the Lord. Pastor Gene has been speaking about Teshuvah, and Teshuvah means to repent and turn from our wicked ways. For on Rosh Hashanah, all things will be judged.
That's right.
We should examine ourselves, not only during this season, but every day we should self-examine our ways.
Absolutely.
It's a preparation for the day of His coming. If we are not ready, we will not be going with Him to heaven. Amen? So we need to be checking ourselves every day. If there be anything in our hearts, we can do that. And this word preparation is a key word as we praise and worship Him. The word praise means to extol in words of song, to magnify, to glorify, to express gratitude of the excellence of who God the Father, Jesus our Lord and Savior,
hallelujah,
and God's only begotten Son, and the Holy Ghost. We praise him in song to thank him for everything he has done in our personal life, such as forgiving us of our sins when we repent with our heart. We praise him for healing us. We praise him for the miracles. And we know that Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna have received a miracle healing. Amen. And we are, when we praise, we are singing, we clap our hands, we are celebrating.
We might shout.
Amen.
Or dance.
Or dance. Thank you, Lord. And I was going to ask Pastor Donna if she would like to join in and share also.
Or we might have a tambourine.
Amen.
Or a tabret. Many things to worship the Lord with, or to praise him.
To praise him with, yes. And this is the part of praise. And there is a parallel. You know the tabernacle in Moses' time? You have the outer court where we celebrate and praise, as in the tabernacle of Moses had an outer court. And then we have the inner court where sacrifice is made or was made in Moses' time, and a time of reflection and purification. And in our hearts, we have a time to sacrifice to the Lord. It's a time of purification and repentance to him. Thank you, Lord. And further into the tabernacle is the holy place of the showbread table, the candlestick, and the incense, and all those other holy things. Thank you, Lord. And these places should be in our tabernacle. We host our bodies, are the tabernacle. We host the Father. We host him. It's a place where he can come. And it's a part of praise and worship. Thank you, Father. And next, and the next part of the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant resided, where God manifested with his presence and his glory was revealed. So in our bodies, in our tabernacle, as we praise, we can enter in even further. We can enter into worship. So as we praise and thank him in the outer courts, he deeply calls us to come into the throne room.
Yes.
To worship him and him alone. An intimate encounter with God. And the word worship is reverence and honor. Praise the Lord. I would like to read Psalms 42, if we have time. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. In Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Hallelujah.
My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. He's alive, and he is well, and he lives in us. So it's very important that our tabernacle is clean and purified as much as possible. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Thank you, Lord. And I'd like to read verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Thank you, Lord. So when we are praising him and celebrating him, we are preparing our hearts to hear the Lord saying, come near. Come into my presence and feel the warmth of my love and my embrace.
Hallelujah.
This is where we worship, and we can worship in our private time, and we can also do this right in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Corporately. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It's a good book.
It is a very good book. It's mentioned of it is called The Throne Room, is it called?
The Throne Zone. The Throne Zone.
By Keith Duncan.
This brother got a real revelation about praise and worship.
And even as he was getting the revelation, the Lord was giving him some Jewish words. You know, there's a lot of different, we haven't talked about that, but there are a lot of different Jewish words that mean praise. And he was getting these words and he didn't know where they were coming from. And, you know, he found out they were some Hebrew words. Right. But I'm reminded of, we're over in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Mm-hmm. You know, they were, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. Verse 9, it says, well, actually, let me back up a little bit, because this is talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb and those that would be dressed in white, which is the righteousness. Verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed or dressed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's Yeshua. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. There's going to be an awesome banquet, isn't there? And verse 10, this is where the Lord gave Pastor Gene in prayer the revelation of the name of Spirit of Prophecy.
Right.
Because the Spirit of Prophecy really has several different can mean several different things. But in this verse it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus.
Wanted to make sure he was, let him know he's not Jesus, right?
No, he wasn't. He was a fellow servant.
Right.
And so many people are looking to worship ministries or people or things that go on in certain churches. They're looking for different things. We should be looking for truth.
That's right.
So we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
We don't need a lot of programs. We just need to be led by the Holy Ghost. So he's saying, don't worship me. I'm one of your servants. Amen. And so they have the true sayings of God. And, okay, let me go back where I'm at here. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he saith unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. We're called servants, aren't we? We choose mm-hmm. to be servants. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yeshua or Jesus. And so what does he say? He says, worship God. That's what's on our pulpit, which is now stored away. I would like to give that pulpit to somebody. It doesn't have our name on it. It doesn't have anything of it. It has this insignia, this scripture on it.
Revelation
worship 19, God. Yeah. That's what we're called to do. Worship
yes.
God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
Every single prophetic word that's in this
right.
Bible.
Every testimony, every witness, right.
That's right. So it says worship God. For the testimony of Yeshua or Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Wow. and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So we give glory to God. Amen.
Worship the Lord in everything that we
do.
We're
to worship God in the spirit of holiness. And you talked about praise. We come into praise. Some people never get beyond the outer courts. They never get beyond the praise. They never get beyond the celebration. They like that. You go into the worship part, you know, there's conviction comes. And a lot of people can't handle the part of worshiping God. And but that's because that's when we're going to be, it's going to be conviction brought, and that's when God's going to speak to us, and we get singing in the spirit, or we're going to get a word from the Lord, or revelation, God will speak to us, you know, we'll fall on the floor. You know, we won't be able to jump and dance. We will be worshiping the Lord. We may just be laying on the floor. And some people say, well, that doesn't sound right, but you know what? They fell down. They could not.
Many times I've been flat on my face on the floor before the Lord.
Many times, yes, you have. So that's what we're to bring. That's what the Lord has spoken to us about, bringing truth. So keep us in prayer, please, as we continue to heal, and as we continue to be led. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. And so we are now meeting on Saturday. We don't meet on Fridays and Sundays any longer. At this moment, we're meeting on Saturdays at the Alliance Church at 2:00 in the afternoon. So come and worship the Lord with us and celebrate the Sabbath, because, you know, we're to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We don't worship the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath was made for man that we might rest and be in Hallelujah. God's presence. Amen. I know we're running out of time here, and so I'm kind of talking fast, but I want to give our phone number if you'd like to call, if you'd like to have the book that Pastor Gene was sharing. This is also on Facebook. You can go and watch this on Facebook and see it again and pass it on. Pass it on so other people will know as well. Amen. This book is being taught in a lot of different churches, and it's not a denominational book. It's just the Word of God. Amen. So this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton and Miss Margie with us, and we're blessed to say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. We want you to have a rest of the Lord and to seek Him. Seek Him out. Seek the Lord out. Amen. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we say, what do we say, Pastor Gene?
Well, we've been saying this for years. I'm going to close with this. We didn't do it last week. Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Amen. So we say Shabbat.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom to all of you that are listening. So we honor that. We thank you for listening to WCNO Radio, and we're so blessed to be a part of their ministry as well. And so you have a great week, and be blessed. Amen. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
We are raising the standard.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.